Welcome, everyone. We're diving deep today, looking at Morocco, its culture, its knowledge, through the lens of its books. And with the big international book fair, SEAL 2025, happening in Rabat, it feels like the perfect time.
Absolutely. We're not just skimming the surface, though. We've got this fantastic special issue of iMag magazine, put together specifically for sale. And it really goes into the nitty-gritty.
Exactly. It talks about exploring Morocco through its editorial margins. I love that phrase. It means looking beyond just the number of books published, which, by the way, was almost 3,500 in 2022-23.
Right. A decent number on the face of it. But the idea here is to dig into those less visible areas.
Mm-hmm.
Languages that aren't dominant, genres that struggle, regions outside the main hubs, even readers who might feel disconnected.
Because, you know, the state of books in a country really tells you so much, doesn't it? About how it values knowledge, language, even how it sees its own future. It's more than just commerce.
It's a cultural barometer, definitely. And this iMag issue covers a lot of ground. We'll be talking about school books, university publishing, journals, translation, literary prizes. It's quite a landscape.
It really is. So let's jump in. Where should we start? Maybe with the biggest piece of the pie. School books.
Yeah, let's do that. It's kind of swaggering, actually. Nearly 55%, over half, of all books published in that period were school books. It's clearly a massive economic engine for publishers.
But that figure immediately makes you ask, right, is the focus just on instruction, on getting kids through exams, rather than actually cultivating a love for reading itself?
That's the core question. And you see how public procurement, you know, the Ministry of Education basically setting the specs, really shapes everything. The themes, the format, even the illustrations.
Which, okay, provides stability for some publishers, sure. But does it also lead to a kind of uniformity? Less room for creativity, for trying something new? It sounds very standardized.
It can be, yeah. The process often involves strict administrative guidelines, focusing on compliance rather than, say, imaginative pedagogy. It's like an assembly line sometimes.
And it's a tough market to break into, isn't it? Dominated by just a few big players. Smaller publishers find it really hard to compete for those government contracts.
Exactly, which limits diversity not just of publishers, but potentially of teaching approaches too. The publisher can end up feeling more like an executor of orders than a creative partner. Cultural ambition might take a back seat.
And what does that do to the book itself? If it's just seen as exam prep, does that kill the magic? I mean, the article suggests maybe the reason kids aren't reading isn't lack of libraries, but boring, compulsory books.
It's a strong argument. If school doesn't ignite that spark for reading for pleasure, no amount of book fairs later on will likely fix it. It's like trying to build a house on shaky foundations.
The author might feel sidelined, too, intellectually. The publisher focuses on printing and delivering, not necessarily on nurturing the content's deeper potential. And the model often emphasizes rote learning over real discovery.
And that paradox you mentioned earlier, huge production of books for young people, yet studies show declining interest in reading. Maybe it is down to these books being text-heavy, maybe a bit dry, not really connecting with kids' lives.
That first encounter with a book is just so crucial, isn't it? It can set the tone for a lifetime. Okay, so that's the giant school book sector. What about the other end of the spectrum, higher education?
Right, a much smaller world. Only 148 university titles published in 2022-23, which seems, well, surprisingly low given their importance for training leaders and developing academic fields.
It does, and the iMag piece points out there isn't really a strong network of proper university presses like you see elsewhere. Some universities publish, sure, but maybe without a clear editorial focus or budget.
And often, the reality is that books are printed a contateur, the author pays, sometimes without rigorous peer review, and distribution barely goes beyond the campus walls. Think of all the research just sitting there.
You get trapped in a cycle then, right? Low distribution means few readers, means limited impact, means less interest from academics and institutions to invest more. It feeds itself.
Exactly. And beyond the logistics, there's a question about the content, too. Are these books often just reproducing knowledge from elsewhere without really digging into Moroccan issues specifically, like importing tools without checking if they fit the job?
Instead of driving critical thinking rooted in Morocco's reality, they risk just becoming, well, echo chambers. Students end up reading foreign texts, which might be good, but lack that deep local context.
Now let's pivot to something that's actually quite prolific, but maybe invisible. Moroccan journals. The numbers are surprising. Over 160 journals identified, nearly 500 issues a year.
Wow. Okay. So there's definitely a desire to produce local knowledge, to push research forward. That sounds like real intellectual energy.
It is. But And it's a big, but their impact is often limited. Low print runs, often print only, distributions stuck within academic circles or specialized libraries. It's like shining beacons that only light up a small patch.
And the language barrier. I imagine a lot of it is quite technical academic jargon.
Very much so, which makes it hard for a wider audience to engage. These journals are crucial for researchers talking to researchers, but they often neglect that knowledge mediation part, making findings accessible to, say, curious citizens or students.
Plus, the whole digital side is still lagging for many of them. Finding them online easily in user-friendly formats for free, consistently, it's tough. Even aggregation portals struggle to capture everything. It feels like knowledge locked away.
Okay, let's talk translation. Given Morocco's multilingualism and cultural connections, you'd expect it to be a bigger deal, but only 145 translated titles in 2022-23. That's just 4% of total output.
Only 4%? That does seem low. It feels like building bridges between cultures, but hardly anyone using them.
And the flow is very lopsided. It's mostly Arabic to French, or French to Arabic. Very little translation from Spanish, English, or, significantly, Tamazight, even though it's an official language.
Yeah.
We seem stuck in that Francophone or Rebophone exchange.
Which limits what Moroccan readers can access from the world, right? And also makes it harder for Moroccan writers and thinkers to reach an international audience beyond those specific language spheres.
Precisely. Translation seems more like a barrier than a bridge in practice. And financially, it's heavily reliant on public institutions or bilateral partnerships. Private publishers are hesitant, it's costly, and the perceived market is small.
And there's no permanent dedicated funding pot for translation, so it's all ad hoc projects.
Pretty much. It lacks a sustained national strategy. Now, related to recognition, what about literary prizes? There are about 30 of them in Morocco.
30. Okay. The big question then. Are they genuine marks of excellence that actually boost authors and the industry, or are they more like symbolic medals? Nice to have, but not much lasting impact.
That's the debate. You've got prizes at all levels, national, regional, university, covering different genres. But the criticism often heard is the lack of follow-up. Once the ceremony's over, what happens?
Right. Not much support, like writing residencies, translation grants, or sustained media attention. So an author gets celebrated for a moment, then kind of fades back.
That can happen. And there's also the question of whether prizes sometimes just reward already established figures, rather than acting as springboards for new challenging voices.
Mm.
Is it reinforcing the status quo or shaking things up?
Interesting point. Let's shift gears to the language of publishing itself. Arabic is dominant, around 70%.
Yes, but the crucial distinction made in the IMAG piece is that it's often literary Arabic, which can feel quite distant from Darija, the everyday spoken dialect for many Moroccans.
Creating an accessibility gap, especially for younger people or those less comfortable with formal Arabic.
Potentially, yes. And then you have French, still holding strong at about 25%, particularly in academia, essays, and some fiction. It's seen sometimes as a colonial legacy, other times as a language of openness. It's complex.
And Amazigh, official language since 2011, but barely visible in publishing, just 1.5%. Why so low?
Several challenges are cited. Issues with standardizing typography, you see Tifinagh script, Latin script, combinations, a lack of trained translators, and still developing a wide readership comfortable with written Tifinagh. English is also minimal, despite growing interest among youth.
So the overall picture is, well, it feels like language and publishing can still be a tool of exclusion or maybe prestige, rather than fulfilling its role of uniting and transmitting knowledge broadly.
Well put. It's a persistent tension. And what about the format? We touched on digital briefly, but let's dig in. Only 8% digital publications.
And mostly basic PDFs, you said. Not really taking advantage of the medium, just digital paper.
Pretty much. It's seen as a simple copy, not a new experience. So readers aren't flocking to it, and publishers aren't investing heavily in creating really engaging digital products. The supply and demand aren't really there yet for a vibrant market.
And the content that is digital is mostly academic or institutional, not much popular fiction or kids' stuff.
That's the trend identified. And is that paradox? Young Moroccans are super connected online, consuming all sorts of digital media.
Yeah, videos, social media, games.
Exactly. But they're not reading digital books in large numbers. Maybe the current formats just don't appeal to their habits. Plus, some resistance from teachers or librarians who don't see digital books as quite legitimate yet.
That legitimacy point is interesting. Okay, location, location, location. Where are these books actually being published? Is it spread out?
Not really. It's heavily centralized. About 70% of Moroccan books come from just three regions, Rabat, Casablanca, and Fez.
70%. Wow. So it's like there's a publishing desert outside that main corridor.
It paints that picture. Other regions struggle to get their literary voices heard or to build up their own sustainable publishing ecosystems. It's like the literary map has huge blank spots.
And that must impact diversity, right? If most books come from the same few places, you risk getting similar themes, authors, perspectives dominating. It reinforces cultural inequalities.
Absolutely. Regional literatures, local languages, specific traditions, minority histories, they risk becoming invisible in the national literary conversation.
Okay, let's talk about books for the youngest readers' children's books. Less than 8% of total production.
Yes, which seems low given Morocco's young population. It's described as a fragile sector. Small print runs, distribution mainly in big cities, often not very profitable, despite some dedicated publishers really trying.
It feels like maybe not enough priority is given to building that foundation for future readers. And the type of books?
Often they lean towards being, well, like school books in disguise. Yeah. Very moralizing, overly didactic, not much fun or captivating storytelling. Pleasure gets sacrificed for the lesson.
And a lack of specialized talent. Writers, illustrators who really get kids' narratives, translators for great international books.
Those gaps are mentioned. And also, parents who are key in getting kids reading are often overlooked in campaigns or library programming. Not enough welcoming spaces or support for families.
So who is publishing all these books? You mentioned around 300 publishing houses.
Around that number, yes. But the reality is most operate on a very small artisanal scale. Limited staff, no professional distributors, small catalogs, often founded by passionate individuals, but with limited capital.
Like lots of small workshops rather than big factories.
That's a good analogy. Each focused on specific texts they care about, but struggling with the business side, especially distribution. Without a strong, decentralized bookstore network or national distributors, books just don't travel far.
It's the classic problem. Quality might be there, but reach isn't. And the publisher has to wear too many hats. Editor, designer, marketer, salesperson. Hard to build a strong long-term vision like that.
Definitely hinders developing strong editorial identities and supporting authors over time. Now, what about scientific publishing specifically?
Only about 4% of the total output. That also seems quite low for a country focused on development.
It does raise questions about how much scientific knowledge is being disseminated widely. It's mostly university-based, often individual efforts or rework theses. There isn't a clear national strategy or ecosystem for popularizing science.
So research stays in the lab, essentially. Not reaching the public.
Largely, yes. Very limited bookstore distribution, little translation, a real scarcity of popular science writing. Researchers remain isolated, and science can seem inaccessible. Strong university presses could help professionalize and disseminate this work, but they're often lacking.
Now let's switch to poetry. Over 300 collections published, that's almost 20% of literary production. That sounds unusually high.
It is quite remarkable for the region. Maybe linked to the ease of self-publishing, perhaps, or a strong continuing oral tradition finding written form. But despite the volume,
visibility is low. Reception is limited.
That's the issue. Many are self-published or come from tiny presses with minimal reach. Poetry events tend to be clustered in major cities, too, limiting access for poets and readers elsewhere. Connecting contemporary poetry with a wider audience is a real challenge.
And novels, over 500 published, so lots of creative energy there too. But how well do they sell?
Generally not great. Average print runs are often under 500 copies. Very few novels reach more than 1,000 readers. They tend to circulate within specific literary, activist, or academic circles.
Why is that? Same issues. Distribution, lack of public purchasing, weak literary criticism, not enough events outside prize season.
All those factors contribute. It raises the question of whether Moroccan novels are truly resonating broadly or mainly reflecting a familiar world back to itself.
And finally, in terms of genres, the essay. The piece calls it a cry in a tunnel. That sounds bleak.
It highlights the struggle essays face in finding an audience. The language can be a barrier, often academic French. Publishing opportunities might be limited unless the topic is very safe or mainstream. There's a lack of media spaces for real intellectual debate.
So many end up self-published or backed by foreign cultural foundations, caught between being too complex for the media, too independent for academia, maybe too political for institutions.
That's the tightrope they walk. Okay, maybe we should quickly recap some key numbers from the 2022-23 period just to anchor this.
Good idea. So nearly 3,500 total titles, Overwhelmingly print, 92%.
Arabic dominates language-wise, almost 80%. Then French around 8%, English 2.5%, Amazigh 1.5%.
Literature makes up 22%, but a big chunk of that, about a quarter, is self-published, which points to those structural issues again.
Definitely. And that high overall self-publishing rate, 21% across all genres, is significant. Mm-hmm. We see the regional disparities. Rabat Saleh Kenitra leading. Average book price went down slightly.
And that huge budget for the 1 million school bags program really underscores the state's massive role in the school book sector. Plus, those 164 journals putting out nearly 500 issues, mostly in specific fields and not very accessible.
Right. And drilling down on digital again, that 8% is dominated by institutions like the Policy Center for the New South, often publishing reports and analysis, hence the French language dominance in digital. The reasons for slow uptake: copyright fears, perceived low profits, lack of platforms, reader preference for print.
And Amazigh publishing that tiny 1.5% slice, almost all literary works, all print. The writing system fragmentation is a real hurdle, and publishing is clustered where institutions support it, like Rabat or Susmessa.
Translation to that 5.5% figure, slightly updated from the earlier 4%, mostly literary, mostly French to Arabic, humanities, social sciences, other languages, especially Amazigh, where other African languages are really underrepresented. Lack of translators, specialized publishers, policy, high costs, copyright complexity. It's a web of challenges.
Self-publishing, that 21% figure, is striking. It's an act of freedom for authors, sure, but also a clear symptom of the traditional system not meeting demand. Authors face costs, distribution nightmares, low visibility. It fragments the scene, perhaps without enough editorial guidance.
And the gender gap is stark. Only 18% of books authored by women. This, despite women's rising education levels, access to publishers, recognition, genre stereotypes, all obstacles, though initiatives are emerging to promote women's voices.
It seems digital publishing is finding a niche, though, in areas like economics, politics, strategy, often driven by think tanks and similar bodies, mostly in French. Quick dissemination, but questions about sustainability and diversity remain.
Then there's the manuscript heritage. The National Library, BNRM, has digitized over 15,000 volumes. Fantastic for preservation.
But the concern is, does digitization equal integration into living culture? Or do they just become museum pieces online, inaccessible due to language or specialized content? Need a strategy beyond just scanning.
Exactly. Which brings us back to SEAL, the big book fair. Huge event, lots of exhibitors, tons of books, big crowds, great energy.
But does that energy last? Does it translate into year-round reading and buying? And does the fair itself, being in Rabat, maybe overshadow smaller players or authors from other regions? Is it a magnifying glass or a distorting mirror?
Good question. And do Moroccans really read? We lack solid recent data. That old 2012 survey figure of 2 minutes a day sounds grim. New digital platforms like YouScribe offer access, but the PRLS 2021 study showing poor student reading levels is concerning. Cost is still a barrier, too.
So is reading genuinely declining or just changing form, moving towards digital in ways we don't measure well yet?
It's hard to say definitively. Libraries are also at a crossroads balancing print collections with digital access. There's a new National Digital Library, which is great, but the number and distribution of physical libraries remain issues. We still need those physical community hubs.
And new media forms are emerging, like literary podcasts, Kitab was mentioned, a new way to talk about books, interview authors, potential to reach different audiences.
Definitely. But they face challenges too. Resources, monetization, reaching beyond the already converted literary crowd.
Translation, again, there is growth. Specialized agencies are appearing. Institutional support, like from France, exists. It's seen as crucial for cultural outreach. But the core challenges, lack of trained translators, funding persist.
Literary prizes too. The big established ones like Prix du Maroc, Grand Atlas, Mamounia, they do provide recognition. International success like Taya winning the Prix December helps visibility. Newer prizes aim to foster young talent. But that concern about favoring the established remains.
In the manuscripts, yes, BNRM is digitizing and doing awareness events, but that need for a real integration strategy is key so they don't just become archived relics.
Finally, public policy needs a rethink. Address the regional imbalances. Consider the whole chain from author to reader. Not just focus heavily on school books via programs like 1 million school bags, important as that might be for access.
Okay, wow, we've covered a lot. So wrapping up this deep dive based on the iMag special issue, it's clear the Moroccan publishing scene is complex. There's real vitality, lots of books being produced.
But also significant structural weaknesses. Distribution, the dominance of certain languages and regions, the struggle for translation and digital to take off, the disconnect sometimes between production and actual readership.
And looking at those editorial margins really does give you fascinating insights into Morocco's relationship with knowledge, culture, identity, its future. It's all interconnected.
Definitely. The state of the book really holds up a mirror to society.
So the final thought for you, listening in, where do you fit into this picture? As a reader, maybe a student, part of the diaspora, or just someone curious about Morocco, how can these issues spark your own exploration?
Maybe you could check out the Next Seal program. Look for Moroccan literary journals online if you can find them, or seek out books by some of the authors or publishers trying to navigate this complex landscape.
It's an evolving story, the Moroccan world of books. And maybe your interests, your reading, your conversations about it can be a small part of shaping what comes next. Keep exploring. Keep reading.